Good afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to the KTH 910 AM interview of the week on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. And just wanted to let you know, you may have heard about the news from our garage this past Tuesday. And this is my first broadcast since that happened. And of course, that was a few days ago. But just want to let you know that that was the garage of our building here at the Guadalupe Radio Network and made news all across North Texas and beyond. But everybody is safe, not only within the GRN, but no injuries, of course, injuries to cars and structural damage, but no human injuries or death. So praise God for that. One person said Our Lady Guadalupe was watching over this building in the garage since we're housed here. I'd like to think that was true. So anyways, just a quick update on that. But I want to get to our guest who is a very accomplished gentleman. He's a storyteller, master storyteller, in fact, an author, a blogger, Hall of Fame broadcaster. His name is Tony Agnese. And he actually, when we did this interview on Wednesday, was at the Catholic Network and Catholic Marketing Network in Pennsylvania. And also participating in the Catholic Writers Guild. He's a friend. We have a mutual friend in Nancy Ward, the head of the DFW Catholic Writers Group. And so it's a real pleasure to introduce you to Tony Agnese, as we got a lot of things to talk about, including his new book, which is coming out in 2 days, this coming Monday, A Storyteller's Guide to Joyful Service, Turning Your Misery into Ministry. That's his new book. His previous book is called A Storyteller's Guide to a Grace-Filled Life. So, Tony Agnese, good afternoon. Thanks for being on the show today.
Dave, thank you so much for the invitation. And I have a particular love and soft spot in my heart for Our Lady Guadalupe. And to be there with you in Dallas is just wonderful. And I'm just so happy to hear that there were no one injured in the garage collapse there.
Yeah, through the grace of God. And I got to be on the new local news, and I was talking about my guardian angel. I was talking about the grace of God, and they actually used those clips. And so I was telling my kids, you know, we always have to take opportunities to evangelize, even when you're being interviewed
yes,
by
do.
The news.
Yes, we do.
You know, there's a great word called a raconteur, which I know you're familiar with, otherwise a storyteller. And I'm just curious, before we get into the other topics, you're obviously a raconteur. You love to tell stories. Those are the subject of your books. Is this just something that came naturally to you, or does one learn to be a storyteller?
It did come naturally. My grandmother was a wonderful storyteller, and so was my mom. So I kind of kept the family tradition alive. And I've always used storytelling to make a point. You know, there was a great storyteller named Jesus who spoke in parables mm-hmm. as well. And what happens over the course of time, I've been in business, Dave, for over 50 years in the broadcast business as an owner and a manager of radio stations. And I've always taught through storytelling. And what I find is when you share a story, just like when Jesus shares the parables, they're memorable. And when you remember the story, you remember the moral. You remember the reason and purpose. And when I went to college, I wasn't much of a student, to be honest. When I went off to college, I did my first English paper, and it came back with a note from the teacher saying that I would never write above a sixth grade level.
Boy,
that really just knocked me for a loop. So all of my storytelling, Dave, has been vocal until 2012. And what prompted me to write was I had written a piece called When My Children Have Lost the Faith. And it was a piece directed at a lot of Catholics who are good Catholics in the pews every week, some daily communicants and so forth, whose children, when they become adults, have left the faith and they don't return, and their grandchildren are not being taught the faith and also not being baptized and so forth. And so I wanted to make sure that my grandkids knew that grandma and grandpa were followers of Jesus Christ, that we were devout Catholics, that we're daily communicants, and some of the ways that God has graced me and blessed me and my wife and over the years. And so it prompted me to begin to write some stories down. To date, I've written about 300 stories since 2012. There are 72 in the first book and 68 in the second book. And basically, the stories are all tied to Scripture. There's a piece of Scripture. And the stories are about 750 words. You can read them in 4 or 5 minutes. And then at the end of each story are three questions to reflect on, things to get you to think. And some people read the book from cover to cover. Others read it. They have it on their nightstand and read one story. And and it gives them something to think about before they go to bed or they use it in the morning. I've got some men's and women's prayer groups around the country that are using it kind of as a conversation starter. You know, they'll read one of the stories and ask the questions, and then that'll start their conversation. Matter of fact, I've had the opportunity to attend a couple of these men's groups, what is really nice about it is they'll read one of my stories and go through the questions, and then they begin to share their stories. And Dave, I got to tell you, some of their stories are way better than mine, but the story just triggers them to put themselves in their own lives, into the stories and into the subjects that I discuss in the stories. And so I began writing, and I wrote about 10 or 12 stories, and I had a retired college professor that goes to Daily Mass, and I asked her to read some and tell me what she thought. And she says, "Oh, Tony, these are wonderful stories." And I said, "No, no, no, no. The most important question is, what level do I write at?" And she said seventh grade. And I figure in 40 years, Dave, I'm up a grade. So
that's right. And I think that's probably a compliment, because you don't want to be writing at a PhD level necessarily, because you may miss a lot of people who don't want to read at that really, really high level. Tony Agnese.
Absolutely.
Tony Agnese is my guest, master storyteller, author, blogger, Hall of Fame broadcaster. He's the author of A Storyteller's Guide to Joyful Service, Turning Your Misery into Ministry. You can go to TonyAgnese.com. Tony is T-O-N-Y, Agnese, A-G-N-E-S-I.com, hisname.com. It makes it very easy when you have a unique name like Tony does. And Tony, I want to ask you, you're talking about these dozens and dozens of stories that make up your two books. Are they all true stories? Do you make any up? Or is it just from stories that you hear from people tell? Or what's the source of these stories?
Oh, no, these are... Every story is true. You know, I get asked all the time, "Did that really happen?" Yes, it did. These are absolutely true stories, every single one of them. And I put them in the category of predictable mini miracles, predictable minor miracles. You know, we all have them, Dave. We just sometimes don't have our antenna out and realize what God is doing in our lives, and how just this little nudge we might get from God might help us. I'm sure that people listening in, have you ever thought of somebody just popped into your mind and you picked up the phone and called them, and what's the thing they say when they answer the phone?
"How you doing?"
"Oh my goodness,
oh.
I was just thinking about you, right? I was just thinking about you," and you call. I think those are little bumps from God, little nudges, little prompts from God to do something. And oftentimes, if we don't have our antenna out, we miss these, or we get a bump and we don't follow through on it. You'll see somebody at the grocery store, and you know that they've just gotten out of the hospital, and you really want to go over and speak to them, but then you say, "Well, maybe I'll say the wrong thing," or whatever, and you don't do it. So my book begins with a little prayer that I pray every morning when I receive the Eucharist, and it's, "Lord, make me an instrument. Put somebody in front of me today that you can help through me." And it's a little prayer, Dave, that I tell people don't pray it unless you mean it, because every day you'll have the opportunity to help someone. So you put those antenna out, and it gives you the chance to be helpful. And I have been blessed so many times with such wonderful, miraculous stories by just being open to God's prompting. When I get those little nudges and little bumps, of acting on them.
Yeah, that's I love how you put that, because I think, you know, we miss so many opportunities, as you mentioned, every day. I was walking around a track the other day, and there was an older man as I ran by, and he said, "Hey, can I run with you?" And you know, and he took the opportunity to just introduce himself, and we started talking. Turns out we had mutual friends, and it was just a fascinating conversation. But it would have never happened had he not stepped out and just said, you know, "Hi." And, you know, so we kind of clam up in our own little cocoon, and we don't want to open ourselves up to people, do we?
No, absolutely. You know, Albert Einstein said we can view life one of two ways, as if everything is a miracle or as if nothing is a miracle. And I don't believe in coincidence. I believe that you were put in his path for a reason, and you prompted that conversation for a reason. And ultimately, you will discover why. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a new friendship, common friends, those types of things that happen all the time. And it's just opening yourself to those nudges from God that, you know, go over and say hello, or You know, I get, for example, somebody will come up to me in the grocery store and they'll tell me their problem and they say, "Will you pray for me?"
Mm-hmm.
And I often would say, "Yeah, I'll be happy to pray for you." And I write their name in the little book by my nightstand and I pray for them.
Yeah.
But you know what I found, Dave, is when somebody says, "Will you pray for me?" You know what they're really saying? They're saying, "Will you pray for me now?
Yeah.
Will you pray
yeah.
for me right now?" And what I do now, I've started doing it a few years ago, is if somebody asked me to pray for them, I say, "Let's do it
yeah.
right now." Right in the middle of the aisle at the grocery store, I don't care. I pray for them on the spot. It really does offer a real connection with the person, that they feel that truly you are, you do care for them, and you are praying for their better health or whatever their situation is.
Yeah, that is awesome. Tony Agnese, my guest, TonyAgnese.com. His book, most recent book, is A Storyteller's Guide to Joyful Service, Turning Your Misery into Ministry. Also, if you have time, and we can go a little bit long with this one, Tony, I want to ask you about the Catholic Marketing Network and also the Catholic Writers Guild, those meetings that you're having. I don't know how much time you have. I know you're taking a break from your normal routine.
As much time as you need.
You know, there's a line here. Did you ever notice that the couple raising money for autism has an autistic child? The woman visiting cancer patients is a cancer survivor. I know this is kind of lead-in questions for the basis of the Storyteller's Guide to Joyful Service, Turning Your Misery into Ministry. Tell us about this book. What inspired you? And I know there's, you know, like you say, dozens of stories in it. Maybe you can share a couple of them. But what's the basis for this book?
And the basis is my observation over the years, Dave, that those people that have had absolutely miserable things happen in their lives, death of a loved one, a heroin overdose of a child, and so forth, that if those people are open to it, God will bless them, not only get them through it, but will give them the opportunity to turn that misery into a ministry. I see it all the time. The guy who is giving a pair of boots to a homeless man was once homeless himself. The family feeding another family at Christmas had the same thing done for them years ago, and they're paying it forward. The woman visiting a cancer patient was a cancer patient herself. I see in my prison ministry and jail ministries guys that are the best ministers and best counselors for drug addiction and so forth were once drug addicts themselves or once prisoners themselves. And, you know, the whole Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous is based on that. So these observations, and in my own personal life, the ministries that I'm involved with, the things that I talk about in the book, the three or four or five ministries I talk about in the book, all came as a result of something happening that allowed me to turn that misery into a ministry. 14 years ago, Dave, I was diagnosed with colon cancer, and it was one of those situations where I kept putting off doing the colonoscopy, and finally my doctor talked me into it, and I did it. And we get the phone call and says, "Yeah, the doctor'd like to see you in his office, and bring your wife with you."
That's not good.
Does he want to see me? Today. You know, that doesn't sound good, right? And so they delivered the bad news. And so I go home that day, and I go into my email, and here is an email that says the seven great prayers. And here's the first one. It said, "God, thank you for ... And I sat at my computer and I said, "God, thank you for an early diagnosis. God, thank you for a doctor who prompted me to get this done. God, thank you for a wife who will support me. Thank you for the hospital that did the thing." And 90 minutes later, Dave, I quit saying thank yous.
Hmm.
And from that second I quit saying thank yous, I never worried about my cancer again. And I had the surgery. Everything is in by the grace of God. That was 14 years ago.
Wow.
And so just understanding that I had so much more to be thankful for and concentrating on what I had to be thankful for instead of this misery that I had to go through, the surgery and the recovery and all of that and the scars that still exist. They're nothing compared to the blessings that God has given me. One thing that happened a year after my surgery, I was diagnosed with hepatitis C.
Mm.
It's called the silent killer.
Yeah.
It affects the liver. And I went to the best liver doctor in the United States at the Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland, Ohio. And my gene type is the one that is the least successful with the protocol that they had. It just doesn't work, about 20% success rate. And I asked him what I should do, and he said, just wait, there may be something on the horizon. If you'll remember, you may have seen the TV commercials about Harvoni, and Harvoni came out about 2015, and it was for my gene type and had a huge success rate, 99.7% success rate, and I was a candidate for it. And so through my insurance company, I applied to get Harvoni, and I was turned down. And we applied a second and a third time, and I was turned down both of those times. And his office, two of the girls in his office, made it their personal mission to try to get me all the tests I needed and the interviews and the questionnaires and things I needed and resubmit it a fourth time. And on the day after New Year's in 2015, I received a note that I was approved for Harvoni. Harvoni is $93,000.
Oh, my goodness.
And they would pay 20%, which would leave me with a bill of $18,000. And so now you're sitting there and you're looking at a life-threatening disease and $18,000. And the phone rang, and it was the drug company, and they said that I was a perfect candidate for a trial they were doing. And if I were to go into the trial, they would pay everything except $38.
Oh.
And I wrote that check for $38 faster than you can blink.
How amazing that they wouldn't just cover that $38. They wanted, I guess, a little bit of skin in the game on your part, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
So you take a pill a day every day for 90 days, and I did. And at the end of the 90 days, they did blood work, and it was gone. And they said, we wait 90 more days, so 6 months. We do blood work again, and if it's still gone, we consider it a cure. The day I went, I did the blood work, and I went to get the results. I drove an hour to this particular doctor's hospital, and they put me in the little room, and I'm sitting there, and I'm waiting for him to come in. Now, he doesn't have a great bedside manner. He's a fabulous doctor, but not much of a bedside manner. He walks in. He leans up against the counter. He said, Tony, you're a busy guy. I'm a busy guy. You're cured. And he walked out. And I gathered my thoughts as the tears began to flow, and I got in my car, and I drove, Dave, an hour to where my office is, in tears the entire way. And as I pulled off to go to my office, there's a drugstore straight ahead, and there was an elderly black man who appeared to be homeless, who was slumped over and sitting on the sidewalk in front of the drugstore. And God gave me one of those nudges, one of those bumps. And so I pulled off the road, and I went in, and I went up to the gentleman, and I said, are you okay? And he said, no, I'm not. He said, I have a heart condition, and I have a prescription that's keeping me alive, and I don't have the money to pay for it. And I don't have any friends or family, and I've been asking people as they walk by, and no one will help me. And I said, do you have the prescription with you? And he said, yes, I do. And I said, come on, let's go inside. And I helped him to his feet, and I took him to the pharmacy, and we filled his prescription. And Dave, I paid for his prescription. It was $38.
I was hoping you wouldn't say $93,000, but $38. Wow, if that's not a sign from God, what is, right?
So what God does is he not only gives you a cure, but he gives me a lesson. And the lesson is that my $93,000 worth of medicines I could get because I had a job and I had good insurance and I had a great doctor and a great set of nurses who were working on my behalf. And here was a guy who was homeless, who has no money, who has no job, who has no insurance, whose life was in jeopardy, for the same $38 that it cost me. And that was the lesson that God gave me that day.
So you have personally at least two great stories that you've just told us. And how do you find the other ones? I know you go around and you talk to people, but have you found the autistic parents? Have you found the cancer patients? Of course, you yourself.
Sure.
You talk about the homeless man. Are people at the point now where they now kind of know you're the raconteur, so they're sending you stories? Or how do you...
The project that I will work on after this will be that. I've got people that do send me stories and so forth, and they're fabulous, and we're gonna put those together. But no, all of these are things that have happened to me in the course of the ministries that I'm involved with. So I work with the homeless, and I work in jail ministry. My 14th year of jail ministry, I'm in the jails. Every Tuesday, they lock me in at 6 o'clock and until about 11 or 12 o'clock. I work with four different groups each Tuesday night, not myself, but with a small team. We have a team that works with them. I work with the Community Pregnancy Center. I do all of their strategic planning and so forth. Years ago, almost 30 years ago now, Dave, I read a thing in my church bulletin that said that the local pregnancy center was in desperate need of infant formula. They had none. They were really on low supplies. And so I had a check from a speaking engagement I had done. And I said to my wife, I'm going to go to the store and I'm going to buy some cases of infant formula and bring it to the pregnancy center. So I went to the store, and I remember my kids, when they were little, had drank Similac with iron.
Mm-hmm.
So they had five cases of Similac with iron, and I had enough money for six cases. So the guy said, well, I have a case of Infamil, and I didn't know anything about that, but I said, okay. So I show up at the back door of this little pregnancy center, and I knock on the door, and an elderly volunteer comes to the door. Can I help you? And I said, yeah, I have some infant formula. Oh, honey, bring it in. So I brought in the first two cases, and pregnancy center was in an old home, and I brought it into the kitchen. And as I looked into the dining room, which was the executive director's office, she looked at me and smiled. She had a girl in front of her that she was working with. I went back out and got two more cases of the Similac and brought it in, and she looked again at me and smiled. And then I came in with that case of Infamil, and as she saw me, she smiled and got immediately up from her desk. And she walked over to me and she said, is that Infamil? And I said, yes, it is. She says, the girl I have in my office, her baby can only have Infamil. And would you mind bringing that case of Infamil to the car? And I said, no, I'd be happy to. And Dave, as I turned around to bring the Infamil to her car, she said to the young girl, problem solved. An angel just delivered some Infamil. Now, over the years, Dave, I've been called a lot of names.
Yeah.
Angel has never been one of them.
Up until now, huh?
And from that moment, I could just feel God's grace flush over me. And I've been working with that same pregnancy center now for 30 years. I bring them diapers and formulas. I do their strategic planning. We help them go from that little house to a 5,000-square-foot facility with free ultrasound and free pregnancy testing and so forth. So proud of what the pregnancy center folks have done, the beautiful ministry that they have. And just to be a part of it, to be thought of that way, just made my day, and it does to this day 30 years later.
Yeah, Tony Agnese, my guest, master storyteller, as you can tell, author, blogger, Hall of Fame broadcaster. You can probably tell that as well at how well he tells stories and his great talent speaking. His new book coming out Monday is A Storyteller's Guide to Joyful Service, Turning Your Misery into Ministry. He also wrote A Storyteller's Guide to a Grace-Filled Life. His website, tonyagnese.com. I'm sure you can also get it at other online portals, maybe Catholic bookstores. I always say either go to the person's website or a Catholic bookstore first and try that before you go to Amazon or something like that, although that is a good alternative.
You know, Dave, it's very important you mention that. I'm so happy to hear you say that. You know, we must support our local Catholic bookstores. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Books A Million. My books are available there. But whenever I tell people, please, go if you have a local Catholic bookstore, please support that Catholic bookstore. The Catholic marketing network that is having their convention here this week, Catholic booksellers from all over the country are coming in, and they're looking at all the latest books and all the latest gifts and First Communion gifts and so forth, rosaries and Bibles and statuary and so forth. And they're stocking their stores with the very latest and the very best. And we've got to support them because, I'll be honest, my book is probably cheaper on Amazon today than it would be at your local Catholic bookstore. But I just think it's so important to support our local Catholic bookstores. There are fewer and fewer of them because it's very, very difficult to keep them going if people come in and use it as a library and find two books they want and then go home and order them on Amazon. So happy, Dave, to hear you say that. We really need to support them. And I'm here today. If you were to be on the on the floor as people are looking at things. There is just such a wash of the Holy Spirit over this whole convention that it's just such a beautiful thing, and I'm just so blessed to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's good. I know Alan Napleton, who I believe is still in charge of the Catholic Marketing Network. You might know him, but who are some of you? Talk about the Catholic bookstores and the folks that are selling the statues and the crucifixes and things like that. Can you tell our listeners, maybe somebody would say, gosh, I'd love to be there, or what do they do? Do you know anything about the network itself or how often they have these kind of events? I know they've had them here in North Texas before. What else can you tell us about that?
This is their annual event, and basically these are suppliers, book publishers, rosary makers, different organizations that are marketing to the Catholic market. And so most of the attendees, people coming here, are bookstore owners involved in Catholic bookstores and or gift shops and so forth. And they come to see what's out there, and there are a lot of new things. There are a lot of new people that are displaying some really, really wonderful items. I spent some time with a publisher that is doing children's books, and it's just some really beautiful children's coloring books in both English and in Spanish, and just have a whole series of videos and so forth. Just wonderful, you know, as a grandparent. I was telling him, I think my wife, grandma buys more books for the kids than the parents do, because grandma's a reader and she just loves, her faith and so forth. So that's who's here. You have people that are going to be buying and stocking stores and so forth. And you have those suppliers who are selling to that market, who want to get their ideas out there. And there's just some wonderful things that I've seen had an opportunity to check out at the same time as the Catholic Marketing Network is having their convention. They are so gracious to allow the Catholic Writers Guild to meet at the same time. And so the Writers Guild is here, and we are having our sessions, and I just did a critique a session yesterday with Nancy Ward, who you mentioned, and there were a lot of Texans involved in the critique session, just some wonderful writers from the great state of Texas. So we just have a wonderful time with the Writers Guild, and tomorrow and later today, a lot of authors will be pitching books to publishing companies. So you have a period of time to pitch your ideas to one of the Catholic publishing companies and try to get them to pick up your book. So we have a lot of nervous people walking around getting their pitches ready to go, and we'll be pitching them here in the next couple of days.
Oh, interesting. Well, gosh, busy week for you, Catholic Marketing Network and also the Catholic Writers Guild. Tony, you're the kind of guy I could talk to for the next 4 hours. You're so interesting, and you're doing so much. I'm going to have to wrap it up, though, and I'd love to talk to you again, though, about your book, because I really didn't even scratch the surface of some of the questions I wanted to ask you. Tony Agnese, master storyteller, author, blogger, Hall of Fame broadcaster. And his new book coming out this coming Monday, A Storyteller's Guide to Joyful Service, Turning Your Misery into Ministry. You can get it at his website, tonyagnese.com. A-G-N-E-S-I is how you spell his last name, tonyagnese.com. Go to the Catholic bookstores, and as a last resort, if you can't find it anywhere else, you can go to Amazon. We'll give you permission to do that. You can
anybody, anybody, Dave, that buys the book from my website, will give them free shipping, and I'll personally sign each one.
Oh, very nice. All right, Tony. Well, hey, thanks, and say hello to Nancy and all the good folks out there in Pennsylvania at the Catholic Marketing Network. I wish I was there myself. It sounds like a lot of fun. Good to talk with you, and thank you for being on the interview of the week. Thank you to Cecil Anderson, who is running the board for this program. And, Tony reached out to me and sent me an email and said, hey, I'd love to do an interview with you sometime. And that's where I love to book my interviews that way, because I know the person's interested. So if you have an idea for an interview of the week, email me, DavePalmer@grnonline.com, and maybe I'll be talking to you next, as long as it's Catholic and in most cases local. This one wasn't local, but local and Catholic, and I'd love to talk to you. This is the KTH 910 AM Interview of the Week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Thank you for listening.